This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Dirty bomb. It's a phrase we've been hearing more of lately, and it usually denotes a weapon, a bomb, made from conventional explosives, but packed with radioactive material. The concept was made all the more real by the discovery of an alleged plot by Jose Padilla to detonate one in the U.S. And while it hasn't happened to us yet, experts are wondering if it's only a matter of time. The UN's International Atomic Energy Agency keeps track of illegal traffic in radiological material, theft, smuggling, possession, and its record shows that in the 11 years between 1993 and 2003, the underworld trafficking in illegal radiological materials rose sharply. So the odds that some of it has fallen into the hands of people who will use it to create dirty bombs, the odds are growing. Is it just a matter of time before one is set off, and can anything be done to prevent it? That's what we'll be talking about first up this hour. Our number, 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. Rob Edwards is a writer and nuclear consultant for the weekly science magazine New Scientist and the environment editor of the Sunday Herald, a Scottish newspaper. He joins us today by phone from Edinburgh. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hello.
You wrote an article in New Scientist about this danger, and it had a question mark, only a matter of time, in the title. Do you believe it is only a matter of time?
Personally, I don't know what to believe. Actually, the headline of the article, only a matter of time, question mark, was taken from a statement that was made by the head of the intelligence agency MI5 in the UK, a woman called Eliza Manningham Buller, who said that she thought that a crude attack against a major Western city was only a matter of time. I spoke to other experts who shared that analysis, that the radiological material that you can make a dirty bomb with is so easily available, and the evil intents of terrorists are such that many people believe it's only a matter of time. Obviously, I suppose, like most people, I hope it'll never happen, but, you know, I fear that one day it will.
Just to define terms here, a dirty bomb is not a nuclear explosion, correct?
Absolutely correct, and a very important distinction to make. For a nuclear explosion, you need some very sophisticated technology, some plutonium or highly enriched uranium, and obviously if you're successful, you can cause, you know, a major catastrophe, many thousands dead. But that's a relatively difficult thing to do. The trouble with a dirty bomb is that it's a relatively easy thing to do. As you said in your introduction, all you need is some conventional explosives, which of course terrorists and criminals have access to, TNT or Semtex or whatever, and some radiological material, which I'm afraid are very widely used around the world, and you just put them together in an attempt to spread the radioactivity over a wide area.
So so when you say it's widely used and available, the raw materials, this is the kind of stuff that are used in radiology labs and hospitals and industries for X-raying things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. There are, according to the International Atomic Energy Agency, there are literally millions of these radiological sources around the world and have been for decades. And they are used, you know, commonly in hospitals for radiotherapy, for X-rays, or in laboratories for research, or to irradiate food, or widely by industry to as gauges, or to X-ray metals and detect flaws in welds and things like that. They're very common, and there are millions of them. Therefore, they're quite difficult to keep track of.
And how much theft? Give us an idea of the range of the theft and the illegal trafficking in this, according to the UN's International Atomic Energy Agency.
Well, they attempt to monitor the confirmed instances of nuclear trafficking. That's instances that have been reported and then confirmed by the appropriate authorities in any one of 75 countries. And that database they maintain, which they provided to New Scientist, shows that there's been a significant increase in the smuggling of illicit material, radioactive material. So that, for example, there were just 8 confirmed instances in 1996 and 51 in 2003, which is obviously, you know, a steady increase over the years. Now, some of that may be due to better detection, but some of it may also be due to more criminal activity. And, you know, we're talking about all sorts of things happening here. We're talking about people stealing sources for money, or people stealing sources out of ignorance or as a lark, as not knowing what it is. And perhaps, and obviously this is the worrying thing, sources being stolen with, you know, some kind of idea they might be able to market them as an ingredient for a dirty bomb.
Mm-hmm. We've been hearing over the years, following the fall of the Soviet Union, that a lot of their highly enriched materials has been available on the open market. Does this fall into that category too?
There's two sort of problems here. There is the highly enriched uranium and plutonium problem, which is, you know, an immensely serious problem, and that's the material we have to control and secure because it can be used by sophisticated groups to make atomic weapons. And a lot of effort has been gone into by the American government and by other governments to try and ensure that that doesn't happen and try and secure the sometimes loose nuclear materials that were around in the former Soviet bloc. In fact, the International Atomic Energy Agency figures show that the smuggling of those materials, nuclear materials, plutonium, uranium you can make bombs out of, is on the decrease and is going down. So that's good news, and it seems to be that the efforts to combat that might be working. But what's going up and what's getting worse is the smuggling of, you know, ordinary radioactive materials that dirty bombs could be made out of, and they pose a much more difficult security problem to solve. But of course, the threat they pose is much less.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. Let's see if we can get a phone call or two. And William in Miami, hi, welcome. Or is this Matt in Columbus? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'd like your guest to characterize the difference between a terrorist nuclear dirty bomb and a military depleted uranium round.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, of course, there's a whole issue about depleted uranium, which I've written about extensively in the past, and I think there's no doubt that there are concerns about the use of depleted uranium, which American forces have used extensively in Iraq and in the Balkans. And there have been allegations that the depleted uranium that they use in their weapons can cause health effects. But depleted uranium is, you know, relatively weakly radioactive. And although I don't want to diminish the effects it might have, setting off, say, a dirty bomb with cesium-137 or strontium-90 or cobalt-60, which are much more powerfully radioactive in a city center, could have, a more disruptive and disturbing effect than the use of depleted uranium.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
1-800-989-8255. Let's see if we now can go to William in Miami. Hi, William. Are you there?
How you doing?
Hi there.
All right. Hey, think of an atomic bomb or a dirty bomb at that. I think of Hiroshima. I think of the mushroom cloud. And I'm wondering, I'm standing 10 feet from a dirty bomb. What happens to me? What are the, like, physical effects?
As I've been trying to explain, I mean, a dirty bomb is not Hiroshima. It's not a mushroom cloud. It's a much smaller problem. A nuclear explosion using plutonium or uranium gives you a massive explosion, a massive blast, and, you know, cause devastation over miles, potentially, and hundreds of thousands of deaths. Happily, if you can be happy in this topic, we're not talking about that with a dirty bomb. You're talking about an amount of radioactivity strapped to a conventional explosive and let off, say, in the heart of a city. You know, if that happened, the first problem you get is the blast from the conventional explosives may kill people, and that's frankly the most serious risk. You know, if it knocks down a building or splinters windows or whatever, you've got a serious problem, depending on how big it is, obviously. But then the problem caused by the radioactivity is more subtle, if you like, and more long term. The radioactivity could spread over a large area, and, you know, we all know that increased doses of radioactivity increase our risk of getting cancer over the long term. So you'd get a plume of radioactivity from a dirty bomb over, I don't know, hundreds of meters perhaps. You would have to evacuate people from that area. You'd certainly have to decontaminate it. It may remain uninhabitable for a long period. And you may, depending on how successful you are in doing these things, get increased rates of cancer in years or decades to come. It's difficult to imagine that the radioactivity in a dirty bomb would kill anyone straight away, but it's not impossible. There have been instances around the world, one particularly in Brazil, where radioactive sources were stolen and misused by people, and they did cause a number of deaths because they can be quite powerful sources. So I would say a dirty bomb, you know, the blast could kill people. The radioactivity is unlikely to kill anyone immediately, though it could. Over the longer term, it could cause mass economic disruption and potential increases in cancers in future years.
That's why it makes it such a terrific weapon for terrorism, because it really does cause panic and terrorism, terror in the public.
It is. You're right. I mean, it is a weapon of mass terror. Some people have said, and I think this is accurate, it's not a weapon of mass destruction, but it is a weapon of mass disruption. And, you know, very often that's the kind of thing that terrorists, unfortunately, are trying to achieve.
Yeah, shock and awe. 1-800-989-8255. So what's being done now? Are you, in your research and writing about this, are you satisfied that there's enough being done to prevent the flow of these, or that we can slow down the loss of all these little bits of radioactivity around the world?
Well, there's certainly more been done than used to be done, and America and, again, other countries have funded efforts, particularly in Russia and Eastern Europe and elsewhere in Europe, to make sure or try and make sure that these materials are more under control. We have more radiation monitors at borders and in public places, and those are all good and welcome things. The worry I have, and I think the worry that many people have, is that however hard you try in doing these things, the problem is so difficult that you can't be sure that you've done enough. And in a sense, you can never do enough, which is why I think, you know, in recent times, we've seen people like President Bush and other senior American figures or figures in the UK warning that, you know, we might get a dirty bomb explosion.
So then being ready for it then, because of the thought by a lot of people that it's inevitable, and being ready to deal with it after it happens is a large part of.
Yes, I think public awareness and knowledge is certainly helps. And, you know, I must say that my impression is that in America, you know, the public information that's available to help people prepare and become aware of this risk is rather more advanced than it is in the UK, which still has a sort of traditional devotion to secrecy as if it's always the best thing, which I think is a bit patronizing as far as people are concerned. But, I mean, yes, if you can understand, you know, if there are emergency systems in place that can A, detect the radioactivity, and then B, take the proper countermeasures, whether they be staying in your house to avoid breathing in the radioactivity or evacuating the area as soon as possible, they can make a major difference in saving lives, and they're obviously very important.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, you're going to have to invest the money in the cleanup operation that follows.
Well, yes. I mean, you know, cleaning up after a successful major dirty bomb attack would be very expensive and would last for a very long time. I mean, it's, you know, it depends, of course, on how much radioactivity and where it was and so forth. But just as an indicator, you know, the worst nuclear accident the world has seen was, of course, the explosion at Chernobyl in the Ukraine in 1986, 18 years ago. And we are still paying the price for that. There are sheep in Scotland and in Wales and in England that are still contaminated with so much cesium-137 from that accident that they can't be put on the market.
We've got to go. Rob Edwards, thank you very much for joining us. He's a writer for New Scientist and environment editor of the Sunday Herald, the Scottish newspaper. We'll be right back after this short break. I'm Ira Flatow, and this is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.